This hour of the Overdrive podcast is brought to you by Felix. Embarrassed to talk about erectile dysfunction in person? Felix can connect you to a doctor online to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running Wednesday afternoon in Toronto. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan. I see we've got the home whites alumni jacket on tonight. I like that. I guess it's the road whites. The road whites.
I think it's appropriate. I haven't brought it out because I lost it. What I did is I put two jackets on the same hook and one was covering this one. And I honestly thought, I was thinking of people that have like done some work in here. I'm like, somebody stole. And I know both of you are going to say no one would steal the stupid jacket.
No one on earth would steal that coat, ever. Like,
oh, I disagree. That's a sharp
alumni. Well, who the hell's going to wear it? It says Jeff O'Neill inside. What are you going to cut
it out? And I got to tell you something right now. When I saw your best friend at the Hall of Fame game, Jerome Iginla, he said, can I speak to you for a second? I walked over, and the first thing he said after I gave him a hug is, I'm going to wear the jacket to cocktail parties. You were right.
He did not
say
that.
Yeah, I swear. Ask him. I swear on my life. He goes, you're right. I'm going to wear the Hockey Hall of Fame jacket to cocktail parties. I said, I told you. He knows it, and I know it.
You know what's so funny? We were talking about it that night, and he said, full disclosure, I had no idea like where you guys were headed with that question. So it caught him off guard. And he was like, I don't even...
Didn't know he was getting a jacket, did he?
I think he knew he was getting a coat, but like everyone else, they put the coat in the closet and they wear it. Like Scott Niedermeyer, he Strutty's cousin, so he ended up going for dinner with us. He's like, I haven't put it on since I got it. It's like, oh, I put on a few pounds. He was joking. He's like, I got to fit into this coat. Like nobody puts it on other than to wear it to that event. Like you don't wear it to
guys.
You know,
let's just agree to disagree on this. If I have like some kind of event, like a cocktail party or some type of thing, I think it's appropriate that this jacket or my blue one, it comes on.
Well, listen.
And you know what? I had to walk downstairs with some garbage the other day, and I had my blue jacket on, and it was the first time it happened, but a lady said to me, I get choked up even thinking about it. She goes, excuse me. What does the patch mean? I said, oh, I'm glad you asked. I said, to wear this patch, you actually had to play for the... And my wife was going to absolutely strangle me. Because it sounds ridiculous. It sounds like you're bragging when you have to explain it. I said, if you play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, you get an alumni jacket. And this is the patch for the alumni. And my wife was rolling her eyes. She'd seen enough, had enough. And then the lady was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, it's my favorite thing.
Well, it is very cool. Now, that's the thing. There is a line that has to be drawn here when someone asks you what that emblem is. And if you say, well, it's, you know, I'm a member at Costco, so I wear this around. They'll be like, you're a loser and don't ever, I'm never going to talk to you again. And I would prefer if you were evicted from this condo. Saying you're a Maple Leaf alumni, that's going to land, right? Like that is definitely going to land. A couple things I would challenge you on. One, you had the dark blue, the navy one on, right? That, I believe, is the official alumni jacket.
This
last time I checked,
this is a side piece.
That's
homemade.
You made your, yeah, it's homemade.
Homemade. Like the
it's
patch isn't even on. It's the patch is like pushed over to the left. It's not even in the middle of the pocket.
Right.
No, it's in the middle.
But that one doesn't count, though. That one doesn't count, like technically, right? Like if you wore that down at the alumni box, I think the other alumni would say, what's this guy think he's doing? Like,
no, this is not for the alumni box because I think other guys would say, what do you think? You're different or better? Like, you're not wearing the proper jacket.
Right. Okay. You got to wear the proper jacket. But I do think I can reason with the idea of how intoxicating it would be to wear a cool jacket like that. Like, if you're a part of a club, I personally am not a part of any club that would justify me getting in a jacket like that. Maybe I should come up with one. You know, maybe I need to look back on my history and my past and
dude,
fire
just
up
think
a
about. Let me just give you a scenario, Hazy. You go to the bar at an outdoor type cocktail function. You have two double gin and tonics, and you just have those casually. You're feeling good, and someone says, "What is that patch on your jacket, sir?" And you turn around and say, "That's a patch for going into the Hockey Hall of Fame."
Right. Oh, it would be just a remarkable mic drop. I can't argue with that. I mean, it would be a confidence builder and such a cool experience that very few people have the ability to do. So I hope you're telling the truth here. I hope Jerome McGinley goes through with it because he should be proud of that jacket. He should be proud
Noodles
of
Noodles was at the door leaving, and he said, "I got to tell you, I'm wearing that jacket to cocktail parties."
Good
I'm
for telling, him.
And I
it,
said,
and we had a cocktail yeah, party did. The next night. He was wearing a sweater. He wasn't wearing his Hall of Fame coat.
Well, he can't like wear it every single night. I mean, he
Noodles,
knew he was...
you could fact check with me and text him right now.
I'll
like he
him
said that. Yeah.
I think it's great. Obviously, Hockey Hall of Fame, even, you know, Leaf alumni, but I just, where's the line? Making your own coat, and then, like, that's the thing. Is that the line?
Well, I think so. Do it yourself. I mean, it's a cool look. It's a sharp jacket. The one O's got on right now,
coat.
The Road Whites, is very, maybe that's for when you take the show on the road. If you go watch a Leaf game on the road, you have to wear the Road Whites alumni jacket. That could be a different story. Maybe that's more of a summer kind of seersucker vibe. Is that what I'm picking up on? That's more for, like, summer cocktails where the Navy is for winter and hockey season or when you're around the rink. But
dude, I got one final say on that. Like, it's just, and I don't want to name drop here, but the great Paul Coffey told me once, he's like, "You just wear whatever you want. Don't worry about rules, black here, white there. You wear whatever you want."
Is that what he said? When did he say that? When did Paul Coffey tell you that little nugget of information?
It's a personal story, but we were talking about, like, conduct, like what to wear at certain events, and he's like, "You wear whatever you want, anytime you want." That's from a Hall of Famer, and that's a great statement.
That's more from like an Eddie Belfour. Like Eddie Belfour, I believe, made that statement as well. "I wear what I want. I don't care what people think. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm a great goaltender. I'm a Leaf alumni." And I mean, maybe.
And
he's
if when
right
I go
now,
into the Hall of Fame, I'm wearing a leather jacket and a Mark's Work Warehouse flannel
exactly.
shirt.
Exactly.
And my blue jeans and Carlo Poliakovo square-toed Italian leather boots.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's awesome. The coat looks good. You look good. Feeling good. Big game tonight. Should be fun.
Yes, like, big game tonight. Well, I was thinking about it with Colorado in town. There's always a difference between teams from the West and teams from the East because it is a one-off. It's so much more exclusive that Colorado's right. only in town for one game. And I would still say Edmonton is my number one ticket. If I could go see one team play down at Scotiabank, and I think this might be the case, honestly, for the next 5 years. I don't think it'll be still the case in 10 years because I can say from my own experience with a team like Pittsburgh or Washington, 10 years ago it was Pitt's my number one team, Washington's my number 1B. That's the one I want to go see because of Sid Novy. Now, this is going to sound maybe arrogant or condescending, but I've seen them so many times live, I don't need to see them anymore. It's not that I won't. I'd happily go down to see Pittsburgh or Washington play, but they're not at the top of my list. McDavid, Drysdale, Edmonton, number one. Colorado is number two, and I'm disappointed in myself for not going to the game tonight. Oh, you and I, we were texting earlier. We're like, what are we doing? How are we not down at the game tonight?
7:30 start, too.
Yeah.
It's just buffoonery on our end. We absolutely should be down there because McKinnon's back. Cale Makar playing in Toronto. Rantanen's a stud. Kadri's on a heater. They're such a good team. They're such a fun team. I think they're number two for me. I would say Edmonton's my number one ticket if I could grab one, and I think Colorado's number two.
I don't see it. I don't see how it could be any other way. I'm trying to think right now, Hazy, who even would be number three? Like, is it Tampa Bay still? Is it? I don't even know. But that one, too, it's not even close. Yeah.
Depends on who you value, right? Like, you know, if you don't see people from the West, you're right. McDavid, face of the franchise, face of the league, all of that type of stuff. Draisaitl, you know, McKinnon, Colorado has had a tough start off the ice. I mean, you had Makar injury, you've had a McKinnon injury, you've had COVID. Like, those guys, they've got their legs underneath them because they got a deep team, but they kept going. But
Noodles, you know who would be one of my top, and it's not really the case right now, especially after another loss last night. Anytime the Bruins would be in town, I'm like,
yeah.
As a fan, I'd be, you want to go see something with the temperature on it, something that would have some juice? I'll go down and watch that game. That's generally pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, Boston lost, but, I mean, Nedeljkovic stopped, what, 42? Like, it was a it wasn't even close. Like, Detroit wasn't even in the game. They just ended up sneaking one in at the end. But
you're talking last night, but he's saying in general.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying Boston would be an absolute draw because of the history with the Leafs, because of that team. You know, their success recently. I think Tampa's a team. For me right now, it's Florida. Like, I'd like to – watching that team play last night, that was a crazy game. Crazy. That third period was – like, they outshot Washington 26-2 in the third. Like, that was an insane – like, Laviolette was spitting nails. He would have chewed
on nails.
All
I could think of watching Lavi last night was just him speaking to me when he was losing it. And I was like – and I talked about it last week. I'm like, I couldn't deal with that. Like, he was so mad. I think they were up 4-1.
They were.
Caps up 4-1, and they blew it. It was just a fun game to watch, though.
Now, it would be a lot worse if Washington was stumbling all over the place and, you know, out of a playoff picture. They're sitting atop the Metro right now. They're having a very good season, and, you know, they're a very good team. And they let one get away from them, but they let one get away from them against a very good team also. I mean, Florida leapfrogs the Leafs last night in terms of points percentage. And Florida's, you know, sitting atop the Atlantic Division. So we got a couple of great games tonight because of the Leafs and Avalanche being here in Toronto, clearly. That's something we'll focus on all afternoon. But we also got Sid and the Pens in Edmonton tonight.
Yeah.
So it's Crosby versus McDavid. So, you know, that's a legacy moment. That's Gretzky versus Lemieux in the late 80s or whatever the comparison's going to be. We're talking about two of the all-time great players already. Sid has obviously already established himself, in my opinion, as a top-10 player all time. I think McDavid is trending towards joining a top-10 list all time.
Wow, Joe from the Bridge.
Joe from the Bridge is firing up so many things on TSN4 right now.
He is running for the Hart Trophy right now with what he's doing.
Yeah, he's on. Yeah. He's the Phoenix Suns right now. He's won 17 games in a row. He's on an
absolute
heater. And we credit Joe from the Bridge.
That's great work.
I was looking at, because I wanted more details on comparisons between McDavid and Crosby. And I was looking at the points per game stat. And this is another one where Gretzky comes up, and it's just outrageous how good Gretzky is. He averaged, Gretzky, 1.92 points per game in his career. Mario Lemieux, 1.88 points per game in his career. And you can see the board up on TSN4 where they are through their first 427 games. It's actually remarkably close between Sid and McDavid and how good they've been. But Sidney Crosby is seventh all-time in points per game, 1.27 points per game. McDavid is currently fourth, 1.42 points per game. Now, Sid's played longer, and he's been, you know, on the north side of 30 longer, which means points per game is going to drop a little bit. But pretty incredible how they're both in the top 10. And Sid's going to finish his career there for sure. I would have to believe if McDavid stays healthy and stays on top of his game, he likely will as well. It's just a matter of whether or not McDavid can go up. Does he fall back? Does he get closer to where Sid is towards the end of his career? We'll find out. But in terms of just great players and the hype and the exceptional status and first overall and stepping into the league and immediately just saying, we're taking over – mm-hmm. These two are very similar, different games, but very similar path.
McDavid, and you just want a special moment when they play each other. I believe the last time, I'm just going off the top of my head here, the last time Sid played in Edmonton, he scored an unbelievable overtime goal. He snuck out of the corner and then deked out the guy in front of the net and then deked out the goaltender, and it was just an awesome moment. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for one of those plays, a couple of those moments where you're like, that is unbelievable to watch. You remember that goal?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, that was the last time Sid was in Edmonton, I believe, and that's what you're looking for. As a fan, you're like, that's why I wanted to come and watch this game for it to end like that.
Yeah, you want one of those two, and you'd include Draisaitl, and you would have included Malkin also if he was playing. You want one of them to be the hero tonight. You know, you want one of them to show up. You'd like a battle. This is what you can't guarantee. This is the nature of the sport, right? Like, if this was LeBron playing, you know, Giannis, which might be the equivalent of Sid and McDavid or close to it, you could bank on both of them having a great night or bank on one of them taking over the evening. You can't guarantee that in hockey just because of the nature of the sport and, you know, the lack of scoring compared to the NBA. You're not on the ice as much as guys are on the court. But ideally, you get one, if not both guys, showing up tonight. And you get a shootout, and you get the big boys factoring in. And, you know, we'll see where – we know where Edmonton is in terms of their standing. Pittsburgh's in a different story. Pittsburgh has been dealing with injuries, but they're in the hunt.
Right,
you know,
there.
Pittsburgh's right there in the hunt in terms of a playoff pursuit, and it's early. But I don't think they'll stay up there with Washington and Carolina at the top, but I think they'll be in the mix with the Rangers and Columbus, Philly, whoever else it's going to be in the Metro. Yeah.
Geno's going to be a factor. If he shows up and he's hungry and he wants to play, that guy could he's a massive X factor in what happens in the Metro, what happens overall for the Pens, because it's kind of I'm not going to disrespect the man and say it's a coin flip what happens when he shows up, but if that guy's engaged and wants to play, he's dangerous, man.
He absolutely is
dangerous, and he's just – it's a different element where you can get a matchup for Sid and move things around. You can play them together, much like Draisaitl and McDavid. So Evgeny Malkin, I'm sure he knows it. He's that good. He is a major X factor in how things on the East are going to unfold here and where teams are going to slot and whatever, because he's that good of a player and can make that big of an impact.
Yeah,
keeping Pittsburgh alive. Quickly on that, based on where points per game throughout their career, it's amazing. Malkin wasn't in the top 100 a few years ago. It's just absurd. I know we've
that is disgusting.
That every few months. He is 15th all-time in points per game. Cool. 15th. It's not like Evgeny Malkin's 50 games into his career, right? He's 15th all-time. He's ahead of Eisenman.
Bigger disrespect, Rappler. Throw it out. Bigger disrespect. Bigger disrespect. Klay Thompson not top 75. Evgeny Malkin not top 100. Bigger disrespect.
I think it's Geno in a landslide.
Top 100?
In a landslide.
It is.
Dude, you're telling me there's 75 better players than Klay Thompson?
I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that. What I'm telling you is I don't know if there's 30 players better than Geno all time, let alone 100.
Right.
Like, honestly, you could make a case that he's, you know, if he was 34th on the list, you'd be like, yeah, okay, I could see that. Like, look at his numbers, points per game. He's ahead of LaFontaine, Yzerman, Lindros, Curry, Trottier, Ovechkin, Jágr. He's got more points per game, a better points per game in his career than Jágr. That's how good Malkin is.
Yeah, he is. He's kind of like, and this is a really poor analogy, but like, you know how Draisaitl gets overlooked because of McDavid?
Exactly the same.
Malkin gets overlooked. And you know, when Sid stepped to the side because of injury, Malkin wins the heart.
That's right.
You know,
overlooked is one thing, Noodles. Not having that guy in the top 100, that's like the GIF where the guy is repeatedly getting kicked in the stones.
It is. Repeatedly. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because I...
You know the one where it's just...
He's
absolutely drilling the guy in the pills repeatedly. That's what putting Malkin not in the top 100.
The crazy thing about that is that guy was training for that and was prepared for it and wanted it to happen to prove some point. But anyway, continue, Noodles. Sorry about that.
It's a great gift, and it's 100% true, because Malkin deserves that type of respect. I don't know how, in the voting process, he slipped through the cracks. There's always one or two players that just slide through the cracks, and you're like, hold on a second, this guy. And then you start to argue, who do you take out? Well, I can make a case for taking out a lot of people instead of Geno Malkin.
Sure.
And it's not being disrespectful to the guys who are on that list. It's more about finding a spot for Geno Malkin. I think he's that good, and it's just an oversight. And oh, you're right. If he comes back and has a little bit of jump in his game, I think Pittsburgh could make some noise. You know, how deep? I don't know, because the Metro is deep, but I think they're not. The fact that they're not going away, and you still got Geno up your sleeve, that's a good sign for them.
Yes, exactly. If you can just hang around, we talked about Tristan Jarry yesterday. He's been playing very well, keeping them in games, finding wins, finding points. You know, you get that contribution. Sid's going to get going at some point. He hasn't yet. He's coming off the surgery, COVID. He'll get cooking at some point. You bring Geno back. If he gets going, then, you know, Pittsburgh's certainly got a shot. But these are two teams kind of looking in the mirror, the difference being by this time – in Draisaitl or in Crosby and Malkin's run, if you compare it to where Pittsburgh is, they had already been to two cup finals and won a ring, right? Like by 07, 08, they were in the cup final, then they won it in 08, 09, I believe it was. So McDavid and Draisaitl compared to Sid and Geno, I think, is absolutely a spitting image. Difference being, Cup success, playoff success.
Yeah. And the other guy that would counter you, it's always the, oh, well, Ovechkin did it when he was 33, so be patient.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's
the
true.
Two.
That's
but the I'm two, just saying, if we're going to compare the two, if it's, you know, like the greatest two-packs of all time would be probably Gretzky-Messier. I don't think anyone's ever going to match that.
Right.
But I think Sid and Gino might have a case for number two. That'd be a great debate. That'd be a good list to come together.
Duos?
Yeah,
duos.
The best 1-2 like punch in terms of centers, I guess. You'd probably need it to be specific to centers. Right. I think Gretzky and Messier would win that unanimously. But who would be number two? Would like wow. Mario and Ronnie Francis would be up there, I would think.
Yzerman, Fedorov.
We're missing somebody, but I know, Hayes, you're going to come up like – In 1912, the Leafs had, you know,
Buescher, Jackson.
Get the quizmaster. The quizmaster could give us a top five.
Joe Schmott.
1-2 right. punches that we could possibly go over.
Yes, yeah,
but
I like
it
that.
Is. But you're right. Gino and Sid have to be in there. Gretzky, Messier, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of
nothing
know,
can match
like,
that. No, nothing's oh, no. going to match those two.
I mean, I'm trying to think who was center on those great Islander teams, right? Like.
It would have been Trottier and
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, is
question.
It Clark Gillies? I think Gillies was a winger. So you're
Butchie Goring, you know, maybe in his bucket.
Well, Butch, it could be.
It could be Butch Goring.
That would
bucket.
Be amazing.
Yeah, that would be outstanding. Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, there would be a long list of them. You're right. Oh. Yzerman and Fedorov would be there.
The grappler just said Sakic Forsberg. That's
Sakic
pretty
Forsberg.
Dangerous.
Whoa. Yes. That's a great one. And there's I mean, there would have been – I bet you look back in the Habs and, the you know, their history. Who would have been number
exactly.
two behind Béliveau? It's probably a Hall of Famer. You know,
yeah,
we're
sure.
trying to
we're
think
missing.
Of this on the fly. But I do wonder where McDavid and Draisaitl would rank in that. You know, in terms of, like, based on what they've already done, they can't compete with the playoff success or the lack of Cups with these other duos that we're talking about. But in terms of any given night, forget Cups, forget hardware, any given night in their prime – McDavid, Draisaitl versus Sakic, Forsberg. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I played against. I mean, I haven't. We never played.
Dude,
against
I had him. To play. The only reason I'm going to say Sakic, Forsberg on that is because I played against Peter Forsberg every time. I had that matchup every time I played against that bastard, and he makes
he
your
was.
Life miserable. And that's the only reason I'm going to pick him. That's one of the only guys like Eric Lindros. I could play against any of them. And obviously it's a tough night, but Yzerman, Sakic, those guys, they didn't really, like, get my attention on, like, a game day sleep. But Peter Forsberg, Eric Lindros, it's like, you know you're in for living hell for 3 hours because it's just – it was that kind of night.
Yeah. No, you're
Sorry,
right.
I've
like
been
those...
name-dropping a lot today. I feel bad about it.
Well, that was like an anecdote where you played against them. That wasn't a personal conversation or a hug.
No, but it is. Like, Sakic, I used to be terrified to play against that Colorado team. Because you're right. It was an all-star team that went over the boards. Patrick Wanet, Rob Blake, and Ray Bourque on the back. Like,
stupid.
Sakic, Forsberg, Hey Duke. Like
I would think McDavid and Draisaitl are not exactly making goals.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
Well.
No,
that's
I
why
agree.
Someone else, if playing today out in the Western Conference, would yeah. be like, yeah, it's those two because they terrify.
It is.
We got a break for Sammy.
And today's world, it's for sure. And I would
right.
be terrified of them.
Well,
guys.
Let's come up. We'll have other people do the work for us here.
Yeah.
We've got the ball rolling. We'll have other people contribute. Sam Mitchell coming up. The Raptors losing again last night to Memphis. It's an ugly time for the Raps right now, like it is. Fred VanVleet did not play well last night. Siakam continues to try to get going. Ananobi's still out. Doesn't look like he's that close. Ken Birch is out. Scotty Barnes has hit a wall here. So what's up with the Raptors? We'll get into that with Sam. Who takes over in L.A. with LeBron out for the foreseeable future? The Suns win again last night. That's 17 in a row for them. A lot to get into with Sam Mitchell. We'll do that next. All right, Eddie Olchuk, our boy Eddie O, he's in Edmonton tonight. We'll catch up with Eddie in about a half an hour. Jerry's percentages in an hour. Catch up with Jerry in about an hour as well. Raptors coming off a loss last night. Not going to get any easier tomorrow, man. Milwaukee's rolling through. Giannis rolling through. And they had a slow start, but they're alive now. They've won, I believe, 7 in a row. And Milwaukee looks like the champs. There's a lot going on in the NBA. To get into it all, we're joined now by our TSN NBA analyst, friend of the show, Sam Mitchell. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing all right, Sam. And I got a question for you. When you're doing a game now, and I think it's pretty telling, I know you're a professional, you always try hard and do good things on television, but what's the juice like watching the Raps right now and doing the broadcast? And you can't really compare it to the team of a couple years ago where you knew they were elite and in every game. Just what's the juice like for you now doing a game?
Well, I just think Leo said it best when we did a show, preview show, talk about the Raptors, and he said indifferent. And this team is an influx right now. I think right now Masai and Nick and those guys, the brain trust, is trying to figure out what direction they really want to go in. Right now they're trying Precious Achiuwa at that smaller center version. See, could they, play play basketball at a certain size where everybody can switch. But right now, I don't know, man, it's different because they're not a bad team. They're just not good enough to get you excited about, even if they can climb into that play-in tournament, that they really can't get further than that. So right now when I watch the Raptors, it's more for me about the development of OG when he's out there healthy and Scottie Barnes.
Yeah, I look at this team, watching them last night, watching them throughout the season. I don't think Masai and Bobby Webster have done them any favors in terms of the way the team is built with veteran presence, because it's not available to them. The vet was Goran Dragic. He's gone. I don't think he's coming back. Van Vliet has been in the league for 5 years, but he's never been in this position. Fred's always been able to stand behind Kyle Lowry. Now he's the number one guy, and he's learning on the job. Siakam could always stand behind Kyle. Now Kyle's no longer there. This is a remarkably young team, Sam, and I don't think that does them any favors. And you know the way the NBA works, man. It's an old man's league. And the Raps are young.
NBA East is young.
Yeah. So, what can the Raptors do in the future maybe to help with that? I mean, I don't think they're going to acquire any vets between now and the deadline, but could that change between now and the beginning of next season?
Well, it depends on what you're willing to give up. Look, I think at some point, a lot of teams always have this rush after a championship year to rebuild and get younger. But there's a fine line between being too young and inexperienced and then being too old. Okay, for example, you watch the Brooklyn Nets, and they're winning basketball games just based on veterans knowing how to play, because that is not a very good roster when you look at that team. And the fact that they are grinding Kevin Durant and James Harden into the ground trying to stay above the Eastern Conference may come back and bite them. So when you look at the Raptors, they need something, but you don't want to go out and add an older guy that's over the hill, and the only thing he could do is be a presence in the locker room, because you want veterans, but you want veterans that can still produce and play.
Right. With Sam Mitchell, what are you seeing out of Scottie Barnes here? He's hit a bit of a stumbling block, hitting a wall. It's expected. He's young. What are you noticing out of his game that's maybe different today compared to his first four or five games of the season?
Well, fatigue. Realizing that, hey, man, we got a game again tonight. Just the games come at you in waves in the NBA. And Scottie Barnes has almost played an entire college season already. So their mind is spinning. And then he got off to such a great start to now teams are game planning for him. So it's just part of the growth and development. And that's when you tell young players, that's why you got to eat right. You got to get your rest. You got to live in that weight room. And this is a full-time, 365-day-a-year job. It's not just for basketball season, because the commitment to be good and great is a lot of work. So he's just going through the typical growing pains as rookies go through, especially one that has been tabbed to have greatness on him the way he's played thus far this year.
So that old man we were talking about, that old man team is certainly on the West Coast with the Lakers. I mean, there's been a lot of focus on their age and how they're playing and how
they're
looking.
They're beyond that.
And, yeah, and they're grinding, man. They're effectively a .500 team. And now you got LeBron out for at least a week. Do you expect Anthony Davis to take over and be the primary voice and primary option in that room and on the court? Or do you think Russell Westbrook is now going to say, all right, this is why I'm here, and it's Russ's team for the next week and a half?
I think you would love for it to be the latter, Anthony Davis, but the reality is it's going to be Russ. And if I'm Frank Vogel, I want it Russ. All right, have you seen Anthony Davis lately? Look, one thing about the Lakers, you saw him going the other night and beat Sacramento. Russell, and somebody pointed this out, Russ, normally, when he joins a new team, he gets out to a slow start. You look at his numbers over the past six, 7 games. He's shooting about 49% from the field, 25-8-8. He's starting to pick it up. And so at the end of the day, this is why they brought Russ here. It's almost like they anticipated LeBron is going to miss some time. And I think the Lakers are actually going to be okay with Russ leading the way, because now Anthony Davis can get comfortable. And Frank Vogel is thinking about starting Dwight Howard, which I think would be the right move, because get back big, free Anthony Davis up to be Anthony Davis, and stop trying to force-feed him something that he's not.
Well, the Lakers, I think, at this point, again, are just, they're going to try to avoid a wild card game. I mean, that's got to be the plan. And they're certainly in a position to do that. I mean, they could still finish as high as third in the West, but they're not going to finish in one of those two top seeds, because Phoenix and Golden State are putting on clinics, man. They're 18-3, the two of them. Phoenix has won 17 in a row. Who do you think is a better team today? Is it the Suns or the Warriors?
It's the Suns today, because they proved it last night. But when Klay Thompson and James Wiseman get back, I want to have this conversation again. I think it would be Golden State. Look, Phoenix is so impressive. And to my book, they're the second-best team in all the NBA. But you got to believe, think about this. You're going to get Klay Thompson back, and you're going to get a 7'2", 265-pound rookie that can jump out of the gym, an athlete. So you're going to get an all-star and the second pick of last year's draft influx into a team that is tied for the best record and is number one in just about every category offensively and defensively. Once they gel and Steve Kerr and James Wiseman figure out how to play within that system, I'm going to say it again. Golden State may be on a point to where they can win three out of the next four or five championships if this group gel and stay healthy going forward.
Wow. You just mentioned Klay Thompson, and he was pissed that he wasn't on the top 75 of all time. Does he have reason to be pissed, Sam? Because I think it's ridiculous.
He does. If you look at the fact that, and he's sitting there saying Anthony Davis is top 75, and if you look at how Anthony Davis has played, but look, I love Anthony Davis, I love Klay Thompson. I don't think those guys, in my estimation, have had enough time in the league, and they haven't been the main guy, the number one guy. The thing that hurts Klay Thompson, in my opinion, is that he's always played with either Steph Curry, Draymond Green, or Kevin Durant, and he's never been seen as that number one guy. And then when you look at Anthony Davis, when he was the number one guy in New Orleans, they didn't really do anything come playoff time. And then you look at him now with LeBron, and when you need him to be that number one guy, he's taking a step back. So there's a legit reason. I can understand Klay Thompson when you look at Anthony Davis being put on this team, but the guy that should be upset is Dwight Howard. I mean, he really should be upset, because he's playing with a guy that kind of bumped him off his spot with Anthony Davis, who clearly, to me, has not shown that he's one of the top 75 players in the NBA. In history.
What's the last score you shot in golf, Sammy?
Guys, I haven't played in 13 weeks. You got to remember now, I had my hip replaced 11 weeks ago. So I just started back. I went and hit some balls yesterday for the third time. Hit them pretty good. My hip is feeling, man, this is the best I've felt in 15, 20 years. I'm walking better. I'm jogging better. I'm pain-free. And my only regret is that I didn't do this 2 or 3 years earlier, man. I feel so much better with my new hip.
All right. Well, listen, as much as I want to see Tiger Woods play again, I want to see Sam Mitchell play even more. So.
Oh, and I hate to say this to you guys. I'm driving to Athens right now to watch.
Wow, we had no idea you were driving. We had no idea you were driving a car right now.
My old team, Memphis, is in town. They're playing the Georgia Bulldogs. So it's only like an hour and 15 minutes from my house. So I'm going to check out this game, guys, but I want to rub this in. It's 69 degrees, and I got the sun. I'm going to open the sunroof when I hang out with you guys.
Yeah. All right.
No, you mean the roof's down from what it sounds like.
We love it. We love it. Enjoy it down there. Let us know how the courses look, man. It's snowing up here. You know that, Sam. So we'll do it again soon.
I know it, baby. Without a doubt.
All right, buddy. Thank you. There's Sam Mitchell, our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst.
Dude, I honestly thought he was in a Lamborghini with the roof down to taking that call. Like, just on I-95, yeah. Somewhere in Georgia, with the roof down.
There was a moment early in our chat where
He was like, "What's that?" I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Like, did he spot like a deer on the road or something? I'm like,
"Miles, do you have the what's that?" Because it was just kind of bizarre.
At that smaller like, center version, he could, you know, play what's that? Play basketball.
He must have been. He must have someone in the car, and they showed him, you know, his phone or something. He's like, "What the hell are you showing me right now? I'm distracted. I'm on the phone." Because that was hysterical, man.
Yeah. I thought it was a Jerry player. Like, put it off. Like, it had something. There was something weird about it where he got distracted and then he got back on track. I loved it, though. He's
so
great.
And he's driving through Georgia, you know, which means I don't know if he's going past Augusta or going past East Lake or wherever he happens to be. But there's courses down there and they're playing golf. You know, that's pushing 70 degrees down there. What is that? 20 up here, 21, 22, sunny, that'll work. Play a lot of golf in that weather. That's the biggest troll job. I got the weather app, and I've got the Fort Myers weather on there because we go down there. I've been down there in a couple of years, but go down there for a week or two a year, so I just keep it in the rotation. And if I go on it and I change from, you know, Toronto to Muskoka or whatever, wherever else I'm going, it'll show all the other ones that I have in the profile, and it just it's like 29 and sunny every single
disgusting.
Day. It's just so beautiful down there all the time. And up here it's snowing, it's cold, it's icy. Not telling anyone anything they don't know.
Yeah.
So it looks like Joseph Wall is banged up and Michael Hutchinson has been recalled. So he'll dress tonight. Jack Campbell's going to start for the Leafs. But Joseph Wall, something happened, I guess, on the trip. And Michael Hutchinson will back up. Peter Mrazek's getting close. He's probably going to play with the Marlies this weekend, but he's close, and I would assume by next week, more than likely, he'll be back in the rotation and back into a tandem scenario potentially.
They got to get him back into the rotation. As well as Jack Campbell's played, you can't have him play every night. And Wall just needs to continue. Even though Wall's record has been good, he needs to continue to grow and develop, and that's better suited at the AHL level.
Right.
And you know, play lots and kind of be the man there, and Hutchinson would just kind of give him that support. But it'd be nice to have Mrazek in to give Campbell some nights off because he's going to need it. That's the reality. The schedule's going to pick up here. They're going to be challenged a lot, and you can't expect Jack to play every night. You got to manage his body.
Well, we keep talking about the idea of Campbell making the American team. I would think the Leafs are praying he doesn't make that. Like, don't make it. Stay home. Go to the Bahamas for 2 weeks or whatever.
Especially as a third string, the wear and tear.
And you're going to be the third stringer more likely.
Yeah, but two things. I think he's obviously in that conversation. But secondly, do you believe they're going? I'm telling you, every day I talk to hockey people, they're like, it's like a layer. It's almost like 5% drops every day from the people, you know, talking around the league. Like, nah, I don't know. I know the big boys want to go. Obviously, they want to go. And it's a great scenario having guys play for their country, try and win gold. But I think there's reality around the corner that they have to be.
It's not good.
It's not good. But I'm hopeful. But then selfishly, I don't know why. I want everyone to be rested for the NHL season. That's just a really selfish take, personally.
Yeah, no, I hear. I don't think you're alone in that. I'm looking forward to the Olympics. If it doesn't happen, it's disappointing. What would really be disappointing is if you miss it, you're talking 4 years until you get back.
Yeah,
you know, if they're punting the World Cup idea, which they never fully committed to, then you're talking a long time in between international hockey, best on best. But I do think that it very well could be our reality. Jerry's percentages at 5:30, maybe Jerry will have some sort of commentary on that. You
also,
know?
A quiz master has sent me the list of the top 1-2 centerman duos of all time.
Okay,
wow.
So there we go. Let's get into that, and we will discuss where McDavid and Draisaitl maybe stand on that list, how you would compare them to what some of the great duos of all time are up the middle of the ice. So there you have it. We're bringing the info. We're bringing the details. We love it. Eddie Olchuk from Edmonton in about 20 minutes. Jerry's percentages in about 45 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Eddie Olchuk in about 15 minutes from Edmonton ahead of the Oilers-Penguins tonight. Leafs-Avs here in town. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Jerry's percentages in about 40 minutes. I'm dealing with conflicted emotions right now because I got the putting mat out. It's putting mat season downstairs, and I found something this morning. Like, I've adjusted my approach, I've adjusted my right arm, and I'm rolling putts that I think will translate, but it's December 1st, and I got to wait 4 months, 4.5 months to find out if that's actually true or if I remember what I found on the practice mat this morning. And this is what Canadian golfers go through. So I
what
think
did,
I'm
What
happy.
Did you find? Like, what did you do?
I've just...
Because I've seen you putt a million times, the same thing every time, hunched over, like your eyeballs are within 3 inches of the golf ball on the green. What's the new setup?
Well, that's one. I'm standing up more because the hunch over. Jack Nicklaus perfected that, though, right? Nicklaus, no one was more hunched over than Nicklaus. Guy would wear a glove and roll putts.
He also perfected the horse eye before impact. Like, before he teed off, he'd always give it the...
Yeah, he wouldn't adjust his head, right?
Dude, like, he would turn and horse-eye that golf ball and say, keep your head still, Jack. Mm-hmm. But you are a different story.
I'm not Jack
you
Nicklaus,
are not the golden
I'm not,
bear.
I'm not the golden bear. But I just did a bit of an adjustment to the address, to what I'm doing with my right arm, my right hand. It just clicked, man. I found it. I found something on the putting mat today. So
what you need is a trip down south so that you can see the course. Right?
Yeah.
Instead of waiting
That's
six
right.
months or 5 months to get on it, right?
Which has never been – I've never been able to pull that off. Like, when we go down to Florida for a week with the kids, I can't get the golf bag included. It's just something
that
it just doesn't go over well.
Now, do people – when you're traveling, do people have their favorite, like, putter or their favorite driver? Do you just bring that on the trip and then use
That's what I should
for the rest?
Do. That's right. What I should do is just sneak the putter in, bring a sleeve or two of balls, and go and roll putts somewhere. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Dude, your kids are old enough. Like, wake up. Go play. Tee it up early in the morning, and you're home by 10:30.
Yeah, that I agree with. Believe me, I'm going to try to – as we move on here and we get out of COVID, I think it's something that I can probably pull off.
Right.
But, you know, they've been young, and my kids are getting up at 6:30, 7 in the morning. Yeah. So they want to be at the pool at like 9:15. And as warm as it can be, it's still, if the sun's just coming up and you get in that pool, old guy in the pool at 9 in the morning, it's tough.
It is.
You know, kid, you know, they want to stay in there for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So anyway, that said, I would happily give that a shot right now. I would happily be down in Fort Myers or South Florida or Arizona, wherever it happens to be, and grinding it out in the pool in the morning.
Yeah.
So, Eddie Olchuk, in about 10-15 minutes, you said that you've got the list of the best duos, 1-2 center duos in NHL history, according to the Quizmaster. Did he just put this together, or does he have this in a file somewhere?
It says in the email, this is just off the top of my head. Number one, Gretzky-Messier, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Untouchable, you're not going near that. Number two, Crosby-Malkin.
Interesting.
Crosby, Malkin, number two. Number three, Lemieux-Francis from the Quizmaster. Under that, McDavid-Draisaitl.
Wow.
So, McDavid-Draisaitl. Under that, Sakic-Forsberg. Mm-hmm. And then here is the King Daddy topper that you will love, Hazy B. Balavaux. Henri Richard.
Yes. Okay. That's what I figured. I didn't know who the number two was back then, but Béliveau and Richard, they would have won like 20 cups combined.
Yeah,
probably.
And I will speak for the Quizmaster here. These are not numbered, but just in – that's the order I read them.
Oh, okay, because that is important. That is very important. You suggest – the way you laid it out, because I'm putting Lemieux-Francis number two personally. I would go Gretzky-Messier 1, Lemieux-Francis 2. I think I'd go Sid Gino 3, McDavid-Draisaitl 4. Any given night in their prime. Not playoff success, not all that kind of stuff.
So Sakic-Forsberg you had...
I would have behind those three. Right. I would have behind McDavid-Draisaitl. Any given night in their prime, I would be more scared about going up against McDavid-Draisaitl than I would Sakic-Forsberg.
Well, the crazy part about Forsberg, oh, you can speak to it, and I just watched it a million times. Like, he perfected that reverse hit.
Oh, nasty like, player,
he was an
yeah.
animal of a player. Like, sure, not fighting, but just physical. Like, a real horse on the puck. Like, you couldn't get the puck off him.
Right.
And you add in all the skill and everything else. Like, very unique. It's a great argument because it's really pick your poison. You know, like...
Eisenman Fedorov was another one we threw out that I think would deserve to be in the running. Right? The late 90s Eisenman Fedorov duo. Oh. Like, come on.
Unbelievable.
That's got to be in the top six or seven for sure. Maybe Modano Nieuwendyk late 90s when they were down in Dallas. I don't know. I mean,
that's creeping around top 10 list. That's
pushing further down the list for sure. I'm not saying any of the big boys are coming out for that, but, you know, people saying Datsyuk Zetterberg. You know, there's been so many great 1-2 punches.
Amazing.
All right, more on this in the next hour. Eddie Olczyk coming up. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050N on TSN 4.
This hour of the Overdrive podcast was brought to you by Felix. Erectile dysfunction treatment online. Felix can connect you to a doctor to assess ED and, if applicable, deliver treatment to your door. Visit felix.ca.